You guys may be seated. You know, recently, at this point in my life, I'm 24 years old, and I know, I look a lot older. I'm just kidding, but you know, I've been very mindful of where I've been, where I'm at in life. It was only 5 short years ago that I was on my friend's couch and I was selling pills and I was doing drugs and I was living a life of partying and I had no plan for my future. I wasn't planning on going to school or college or I didn't have a job or a career. I had no plans to start a family. I had no plans to get married or settle down. But it was because of Victory Outreach and what God has called us to do, the vision that He has given us, I am here today. And over the past few weeks I've been listening to, I just want to give a quick plug in. Those here who here uses YouTube, right? Don't raise your hand if you're in the home. Come on, someone. I'm just kidding. For the Dave, get them. Just kidding. No, but on YouTube, if you go to Victory Outreach International, they have all the messages from World Conference, from Gang Convention, from Mighty Man, from Women's Convention 2016, and they have all the messages for Women's Convention 2018, and you're really doing yourself a disservice if you don't check this out. So the past few weeks I've been, you know, listening to the messages. Why? Because I want to get a hold of the vision. I want to get a hold of what God has called us to do. And I believe that Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we're not just a local church. We're not just here in New Mexico. Oh, but God has called us to reach the inner cities of the world, to reach treasures out of darkness. If you believe that here tonight, give God some praise. And I just want to say I'm very grateful and thankful, first of all, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I also want to thank our pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara. Pray for them. They're in VO Summerlin right now, ministering the Word of God. 27 years ago, our pastor, he answered the call, and he's been serving faithfully. We've been here for 32 years, and you know, I'm very grateful towards them for the foundation that they've laid for us. And then also I want to thank my leaders, our associate pastor, Pastor Pat and Sister Shell, for everything that they've done in my life. And I'm very grateful that we're a ministry that believes in discipleship. We're a ministry that believes in investing in the next generation. Amen. So I've been really mindful of what God has been doing here, what God is doing in our vision, what the things that God's about to open up. So you see here in the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul, he was vision-driven. And back in the day, I used to be a skater. I used to skateboard every day in middle school and high school. And I used to follow a lot of professional skaters. And there's a whole list of people you've probably never even heard of. But there was one professional skater that he was the GOAT. He is the GOAT. The greatest of all time. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, if you were a skater, if you weren't a skater. Everyone knew his name, and his name was Tony Hawk. Who here knows who Tony Hawk is? This man, when it came to skateboarding, because of his accomplishments, everyone knew who he was. They knew his logo. They knew his brand. They knew what he was, who he was. And in the same way, when we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he is considered one of the greatest men of God ever to walk the earth. When we think of the word apostle, who do we think of? Paul. They made a movie about him. I'm excited to see that movie. And I've challenged the gang, said, man, we got to represent. We got to roll deep because we believe in what God is doing through these movies and spreading the word of God. Amen. But he's accomplished so much for the kingdom of God. He's had gone on 3 missionary trips. He's founded and established churches. He's raised up leaders and disciples. He's wrote 13 books of the New Testament. See, Paul was vision driven. Are there some people here who are vision driven? He wanted to fulfill what God had called him to do. And the thing I know about our generation and the people here today during these times is we want to make a difference. We don't want to just live an ordinary everyday life, but we want to be extraordinary. We want to go out and make an impact. Nobody wakes up and thinks, man, I just want to flip burgers at McDonald's. We want to do something greater. And see, God has given our founder, Pastor Sonny, a vision. And that is to reach treasures out of darkness. And they have paved the way for 50 years. And now here we are positioned to respond to that vision. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we are positioned to respond to the vision. And now we're in the second half of the vision, where you see in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, where we are the ones who are going to expand to the right and to the left. We are the ones who are going to inherit the nations. We are the ones that are going to take desolate cities. We are the ones who are going to step into the promise of Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. But my question is, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, will you be obedient to the vision? Will you respond to what God has called us to do? See, I believe that if you're called to VO, man, you're called to be not an ordinary Christian. Man, we weren't ordinary in the world, right? We were out there, we were hustling, we were running, we were doing dirt. But when we were called, when God saved us and He plucked us from the pits of hell, man, He didn't just do it so we could show up here Sunday nights and praise God. He pulled us out of darkness so we could go out and reach more treasures. We could go out and reach people who are hurting. We could go out and preach the gospel. Will you respond to the vision? We're not ordinary Christians. We're called to be extraordinary, to go where nobody else will go. Man, yesterday we were with Pastor Charles, me and Shindo, man, and we were right there. He was telling us that was his old hood. And he was talking to the guys, and he was like, yeah, up there in that apartment, they're smoking crack. And I was ministering to them, and I was praying for them, and I was telling them about what God's going to do, inviting their family. See, there's no other churches that'll go to the crack house and say, man, here's the power of God. You could be delivered. You could be changed. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, the time is now to respond to the vision. Will you be obedient? Man, I love Sunday nights. It's a different type of atmosphere, a different type of people. Because I believe the people here on Sunday nights, they believe in the vision of Victory Outreach. They believe that they're called. They believe that God wants something more from them, and they want everything about, they want to grab hold of it. So there's three things that we have to know if we are going to be obedient to the vision. Three things if you're taking notes. The first thing is we have to expect opposition. See, I remember back in the day when I was real young, I used to, I'm just kidding. Back in the day, I remember I used to play this game called Galaga. Back when I was like five. Who here knows about Galaga? You guys just exposed your age. Amen. No, but I remember at the movie theater, they always had the Galaga game. And there was one night where I was hanging out with my friends. It was actually the premiere for the Iron Man movie. Man, that movie came out 10 years ago. So we were going to go see Iron Man. We were super excited. And that particular movie theater had a Galaga arcade game. So I had $2, and I put my change in the game, and I just started playing. And, you know, I was playing level one, boom, 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 playing level two, you know, the music. I was getting past level three, level four. But before I knew it, man, I was getting up there. I was level 10, level 11, level 12, level 13, level 14. Who here loves Galaga? Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You're going higher and higher. Bam, and before I knew it, like 20 minutes passed. My friend was looking at me. He was like, bro, the movie's going to start. The preview's already started, man. Come on, we got to go. And I'm like, no, I haven't died yet. I have, like, I was past the point where, like, you know, like, you lose your life and then they give you a new life. Well, I was past that. They were just giving me credits. So I would have like $4 or $5 in credits because I wouldn't die. And I was just like going. But I realized something, that the higher the level, the more difficult it got. And Victory Outreach Albuquerque, I'm here to let you know that the higher the level, the higher the devil. So we got to know and expect that opposition. If we're going to do something for God, if we're going to respond to the vision, don't be surprised if the enemy comes knocking at your door. You know what? Let him know, come on, I'm here, Victory. I'm Victory Outreach, and I'm here to fight. The higher the level, the higher the devil. We have to expect opposition. The more you do for God, the more the enemy will attack your life. See, Paul, he constantly faced opposition. He faced sorcerers who would preach against him and come against him. He faced Jews filled with envy. He was almost stoned to death. He was imprisoned. But Paul continued to push forward. He didn't let any of those things stop him. See, God, whatever the enemy intends for evil, God will turn it around for good. He knew and realized that God will turn around the opposition. He knew that the opposition will make him stronger. Whatever the devil intends for evil, God will turn it around for a greater good. See, when the enemy comes knocking at my door, see, I don't get worried. I don't get scared. I don't want to give up. I realize that God is building my faith. He's building my maturity. He's building my influence. He's taking me to the next level. Do we have Christians here in Victory Outreach Albuquerque who are going to the higher level, who are going to the next level? Man, because if we stay at the same place, if you're not getting attacked, oh man, there's a problem. I remember Mighty Man Pastor Tom was preaching, and he said, never trust a Christian with a clean shield. Never trust a Christian with a clean shield. Man, there's got to be blood on that thing. There's got to be dents on that thing. Man, we have to know and realize that the enemy, when the enemy hits us, he's building us. God is building us. He's making us stronger. We have to know by faith that God will turn it around. I remember being a young gang warrior. And I used to think this was modeled to me. And I would like look at other people when I was coming in. And they would always go to their leader and say, man, I'm going through this. Oh, man, I feel defeated. Wah, wah, wah. Call the wambulance, man. They would, and that's what I thought you did with your leaders. That's why I go to Pastor, oh, Pastor, I'm going through that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then I look back and I was like, I don't want to be that. I can't just go to my leaders about defeat. So I would go to my leader instead of walking in defeat. I'd say, man, God is attacking my life, but I know he's building my maturity. I know God is building me up. I'm fighting back. I'm not going to give up. See, we don't need Christians here in VO Albuquerque who are going to cry to their leaders every time the enemy comes knocking at their door. We need Christians who know that God is building them up because we're called to reach treasures out of darkness. It takes a hard Christian. It takes a strong Christian. It takes a mighty man of valor. It takes a woman of dignity to do what God has called us to do. So that's why the enemy hits us. Man, I swear it seems like I talk to some people and they're like, yeah, the enemy's hitting me. This is going on. This is happening. But that tells me that we're doing something. That tells me that we're making an impact. That tells me that that person's growing, that person's becoming a leader. It's like when we work out. Man, for the past few months, it's like when you work out, you have to like strain your muscles. You have to like, you know, challenge yourself, right? And it feels uncomfortable. And I know this because for the past 6 months, I've been trying not to strain myself working out. I've been trying to go the easy route, and I have not seen any results. But when we work out, if we want to see results, then we got to push ourselves. We got to go the extra mile. The result is we'll grow. We'll get strengthened. So don't give up. Don't give up. Just worship God. You want me to give you a little secret? The secret to just getting past the opposition, getting past the enemy, is we have to worship God. See, when we worship God, it changes our mentality. It changes our perspective. It changes our attitude. When we began to worship God through the trial, through the opposition, we began to learn to live by revelation instead of situation. We began to learn by revelation instead of situation. We began to realize that even though everything's falling apart around me, that everything is going not the way I wanted to go, I know that God things work together for the greater good for those who believe. I know that God has called me. I know that I'm chosen. I know that I'm God's masterpiece. See, that's living by revelation. When you live by revelation, you read the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. You fill yourself with the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what the enemy comes at you with. You live by revelation. And not situation. See, I could live by situation. I remember, a year ago, I was challenged to get close to Pastor Danny. And man, it was like, this is where I struggle. Even with Pastor Pat, I was challenged when I first started rising up in gang leadership to get close to Pastor Pat. And I remember it's hard for me because I didn't really grow up with a father figure in my life. So when I was challenged to get close to my pastor and my leader, it was, I didn't know how to do that. And I would be like nervous and I would be like scared and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to, do or how to act. And see, I could have stopped there because of my situation. I could have said, nah, that's my situation. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to leave. My pastor's over there. I'm right here. And that's our relationship. But I knew revelation that God raises up men of God who have gone before us, who will teach us, guide us, pray for us, encourage us. By revelation, I knew that I needed to get close to Him. So I got past the situation of my life and I said, it doesn't matter what my situation is, but I'm going to get close to my pastor. I'm going to get close to my leader. We have to live by revelation instead of situation. When we live by revelation, we stop making excuses. When we live by revelation, we step out by faith. When we live by revelation, we have that make it happen mentality, that pioneering spirit. Secondly, the first thing is we have to expect opposition. The second thing we have to do to be obedient to the vision that God has called us to do is we have to know why we do what we do. I remember back in the day when I was I think I was in middle school, the PlayStation Portable just came out. It's the PSP. And when that came out, man, I was like, oh, I want one of those. Like, I wanted one bad. And at the time, my mom had a boyfriend, and he had a cleaning service where he would go and clean, like, offices and stuff. So he would let me work for him. And I remember during that time, man, I would, like, get out of school, and then I would go straight to work. And what he had me do is there'd be like three-story buildings filled with offices, and they had the office chairs with like the rolls, the rolly wheel things on the bottom. And he had me go get pledge and a cloth and wipe every single chair. It was like 300 chairs from the bottom floor all the way to the top. Take me like 5 hours. And there were times when I was like, man, I don't want to be here. I want to be at home eating and watching TV and hanging out with my friends and doing all that stuff. But it was the desire, the want to have that PSP that kept me pushing forward. See, that was why I was doing what I was doing. See, Paul walked through some dangerous terrain. There were mountains filled with bandits and there was no government in those mountains. So there was no law, there was no protection. He was willing to face this for the people who hadn't heard the gospel. There's a story I often tell about a young boy. He lived in London, and he was walking down the street, minding his own business, and then all of a sudden he came up on a huge Colosseum, and he looked, and he began to see that there were lions standing out the door. And he was like, what's going on here? I got to check it out. So he ran up to the door and he started asking people, what's going on? What's going on here? And they said, hey, you didn't hear? We have the great evangelist. Man, he's coming, man. He's so powerful. God moves in such a powerful way. People get healed. God moves. You feel the presence of God. Man, you didn't know? That's what's happening. And the boy looked at him with wide eyes. He's like, what? That's cool. I want to see this guy. I want to check it out. So he tried to go in through the front door and he couldn't because it was so packed out. And so he began to walk around the Colosseum and he started like trying to look for a way in. And he got to the back of the building and there was a man in a black coat and he was standing by the door. And he walked up to the man and he said, sir, I want to get inside. I want to hear the man of God. Can you get me in? And so the man in the black coat, he looked at him. He began to take off his coat and smile. And then he said, here, hold on to my coat. I'm going to open this door, and whatever happens, don't let go of my coat. We're going to go through some things. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some crowds. But whatever you do, I'm going to push forward and I'm going to get you to the man of God. See, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we need some people who are going to be grabbed, get people by the coat and say, come on, don't let go. I'm going to push through some things. I'm going to fight forward. I'm going to get you in the presence of God. We have to know and understand that's why we do what we do. For souls. For souls, tell your neighbor, souls. It's hard work doing ministry. It's hard work leading people to Jesus. But when we do that, it fuels our passion and our drive. When it comes to doing ministry, we need to have that passion and drive. See, without it, ministry just becomes a job. And it's just like, oh man, this is just a job. This is like a 9-to-5. I'll just show up. I'll just be there. See, we have to be a generation of people that knows why we do what we do. We don't do it for the hype. We don't do it for the music or the lights. We don't do it for the huge crowds. No, we do it for souls. There are people out there who are hurting. There are people out there who need Jesus. And we have to understand that that's why we do what we do. Because that will give us passion and that will give us drive. Are there some people here who know that it's the reason we do what we do is for people? Man, it's hard work. I've been in youth ministry not a long time, maybe like 4 or 5 years. And in that time, I've learned that you have to pick up young people. Man, they don't have cars. They don't have jobs. So if I want to get them to our gang service, guess what? I have to go pick them up. If I want to fellowship with them and disciple them and spend time with them, guess what? I got to have an extra couple 20s in my wallet to pay for them to eat. Or I have to open up my home and let them hang out. It's hard work. Sometimes they call and say, man, I'm going through this with my family. And you're thinking, man, I got all kinds of things I'm dealing with. But you sit there on the phone and you listen and you pray for them and you encourage them and you love them. There are people in our church who need leaders in Victory Outreach who are going to pray for them, encourage them, build them up, who are going to go out and do the extra work. But what fuels us, what keeps us going is we know why we do what we do. Because when we see them here at this altar and they're praying and they're giving their life to God, then it's worth it. When we see them up here testifying about what God's doing at their life in convention, when we're praying them out and they're getting launched out, it's worth it. When they're going to the UTC, when they're going on the mission field, when their family's restored, when things are happening in their life, it's worth it. And the third thing we have to do, if the worship team can make their way, is we have to take advantage of the opportunities to preach the gospel. We have to take advantage of the opportunities to preach the gospel. You know, back, I think it was the 1950s, there was a young band, a long-haired guitar hippie band, who walked into a studio, a music studio, and they started playing their music. And the owner of the record company, he listened to the music and he said, oh man, long-haired guitar bands, they're out. That's not popular anymore. See, but little did that record owner know was that later on, that band was known as the Beatles. That band was known as the Beatles. And they are still today one of the greatest and popular bands of this world. See, that record owner, he didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was set before him. Imagine thinking like he said no to the Beatles. He could have made a lot of money, man. But no, he didn't take advantage of the opportunities. See, Paul took advantage. See, he was on, in this portion of scripture, he was on trial for something he didn't even do. If you read in the book of Acts, see, Paul had just gotten back from one of his missionary trips. And he was heading back to Jerusalem, and he was excited about what God was doing in his life, the churches that were established, the people who he raised up, the people who gave their life to God. And he went to the other apostles, and he was explaining to them, and they said, hey, we need you to do this. Go to the temple, purify yourself, take some disciples with you, pay their way, go with them. So that's what he did. You know, he was obedient to his leaders. And then what ended up happening is other Jews in the synagogue, they lied and they said that Paul took in a Gentile, which back in that time, that was a big no-no. So that stirred up a big old issue in Paul's life because people thought that he was defiling the synagogue. He was defiling the holy place, defiling the holy place of God. And what ended up happening was he got arrested. And the Jews wanted to kill him for something he didn't even do. The Jews wanted to take him out. So in that moment, you could realize, like, I would be pretty upset. I would be like, man, come on. I didn't even do this. Why are they accusing me of this? How many of you guys have been accused for something you didn't do? Come on, somebody. It's frustrating, right? You know, he was just doing a great work for God. He just got back on his missionary trip. God was moving. There was revival. People were getting saved. But now he finds himself in chains. Man, instead of getting down, instead of giving up, what he did was he began to preach the gospel. The Bible says that he was taken before kings. He was taken before government officials. He was taken before prominent people. And instead of whining and complaining and crying and saying, this isn't fair, no, he said, you know what? Jesus saved me. He shared his testimony with the king. He said, I was once lost. I was once broken. I was once, but God set me free. We have to take every advantage of the opportunity. We get to preach the gospel to people who need to hear about the love of Jesus. If we could all just stand to our feet. Victory Outreach Albuquerque. You know, the past few weeks I've been listening to our podcast, VO Albuquerque, and I've been listening to our pastor's messages. And did you know that almost every message that he's preached this year has to do with the harvest? The harvest is ready. There are people in our street who are hurting. He talks about getting to work. He talks about rising up. He talks about having the spirit of expectation that God's going to move in our life. He's going to move in our church. He's going to move in our family. We have to take advantage of that opportunity to preach the gospel. We have to take the opportunity to go out and hit the streets and let the people at work know, let our family members know, let the neighborhood know, let our friends know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus has a plan for their lives. Because think about it, if there wasn't somebody who told you that, you wouldn't be here today. So it's our job, it's our opportunity, oh, it's our duty to share the love of God, to make a difference in someone's life. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, will you answer the call? Will you have that spirit of expectation? Will you hear the heart of our pastor about the harvest that's ready? And will you go out and partner with him, partner with the ministers of our church, partner with the leadership of our church, and say, I'll go. I'll preach the gospel. I'll take advantage of the opportunity. If that's you here tonight and you feel a stirring in your heart, if you feel that call upon your life that God wants to do more with you, as they begin to sing, these altars are open. Hey,